We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. And now it's time for winning business. And you know why it's winning business? Because nobody has to lose. Doesn't that feel good? Well, with us today is Hal Adler, the president of A Great Place to Work Institute. And you may be familiar with their work because it's published every year in Fortune magazine, in terms of the 100 great places to work in this country, or in the world for that matter. And it's amazing how high a correlation is between that list and how they do in their stock price and how they do vis-a-vis their competition. So it's not just a nice thought of a great place to work. It's actually winning business. So Hal, thanks for joining us again today. And you recently had your sixth annual conference that none of us were invited to. So you want to share with us what we missed?
I would love to. And thanks for the introduction, Stu. Yes, we did. We just came off our sixth annual Great Place to Work conference. This year we were with 700 or so friends and neighbors and colleagues in St. Louis, Missouri. Next year we'll be in Miami at the beginning of May, and you are officially invited to the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you for the reminder that we didn't get you in the invitation list there.
And we have thousands of people as witness right now listening.
Well, good. Visit greatplacetowork.com and to anyone out there that's interested in learning more about the conference and getting there, and meet us in Miami. We'd love to talk with you, hear from you, and share with you what we've been finding, and have these great leaders talk with you about what's happening in their organizations. It's truly a great event. We are just bent on making it better and better every year, and I have to say that this year, our sixth annual, I think we're starting to get it right. I believe that we came off our best yet, and we say that every year, and I'm sure next year will be better still. As I reflect back on it, there are a couple of things that really kind of stick out. And, you know, I've had the weekend to think on it, and I've had a little bit of time to get into different things back at work, and a few things have really stuck with me over this last week or so. And one thing that we heard about at the very beginning of the conference, it was this idea of self-awareness, organizational awareness and self-awareness. We heard from Google, and they opened the conference with us, they and Wegmans, both number one companies to work for in different years, Wegmans in 2004, and then Google last year and this year. And we heard from Jack DePeter, Senior Vice President of Operations, and from Laszlo Bock, Senior Vice President of Human Resources, in these organizations to kick off the conference. And Laszlo Bock from Google began his short presentation or short introduction by talking about the fact that there are really three things that make Google special, that make Google number one. And he talked about the first thing as self-awareness. He said the number one thing at Google is that we're self-aware. And suddenly I heard the next 2.5 days through that lens of self-awareness. I kind of got fixated on that idea. We've been talking for years. I've been talking for years about organizational qualities being special and unique. But how does an organization achieve those qualities of special and unique? What makes a town hall special in one place and a town hall boring and plain or unattended or uninteresting in another place? Well, that's exactly what Laszlo was talking about, that idea of an organization knowing itself well enough to create a special feeling from something as rudimentary as a cafeteria or a town hall meeting or even an email back and forth for that matter. So I did a little bit of my own research in the last few days about self-awareness and found a definition online to mean the explicit understanding that one exists. And furthermore, it includes the concept that one exists as an individual separate from other people. And it was in that, you know, kind of furthermore it includes that I began to think about how organizations differentiate themselves from one another, think of themselves separate from one another, and reflect back on this idea of special and unique. So self-awareness includes the concept that one exists as an individual separate from other people. Well, so does organizational awareness. And organizational awareness, as defined by MIT, had a behavioral competency model drafted in 1996. They define organizational awareness as knowing how to use knowledge of the organization to achieve objectives, knowledge of the stated, prescribed ways of acting, to knowledge of the unstated, informal channels of communication and decision-making. And this is where this is where the rubber meets the road for me. This is what all these organizations are understanding. That which defines their culture, the characteristics, the defining moments, the way people interact, the unspoken, informal, unstated qualities that go beyond the handbooks, go beyond the vision or the values on the wall, and really speak to that unique quality. And when you take a 30,000-foot look at these great organizations, we see things like as simple as these, you know, staff meetings or the health programs or the way they approach training and development as entirely different from one another. And these are the differentiating qualities. These great companies really do take time to reflect on what makes them different, what makes them stand out, not just from a business and a value proposition perspective relative to the market, but also internal. So when you walk into a Google or you walk into a Wegmans, you get distinctly different perspectives of what's driving these cultures, but what you get is, in both cases, very, very clear perspectives of what's driving these cultures. So it starts with the individual, that confidence or that self-awareness and understanding that there's a differentiation between that themselves and others, and maps into an organization. So people in it can tap into those cultural norms, those cultural mores, and involve networks and alliances and people and relationships in planning and problem solving, build support by enlisting support of other people in order to achieve desired objectives or desired initiatives. That's why best companies, among other reasons, but that's why best companies are more successful than industry peers. People get work done not just by the stated kind of network of ways to get through the organization, but also through the unstated, informal ways of getting things done. They understand who to talk with, how to talk with, when to talk with, what to say, how to say it. And it's this culture that drives these results. And coming off two and a half days of interfacing with best companies and leaders in best companies, I'm really looking at the stuff they do on paper and seeing how simple it is. You know, looking at the Edward Jones suggestion box. Edward Jones appeared on the list as number 4 this year. We heard from Jim Weddle. He was one of the keynote speakers. He's the managing director, the equivalent of a CEO in a publicly held firm. Jim Weddle talked about the suggestion box as one of the important ways that information gets exchanged and honesty gets exhibited and conversations happen at Edward Jones. And it really is an amazing process. It really is an amazing practice in their organization. But when you peel the onion back, it's a suggestion box, right? There's nothing new. There's nothing inventive or creative about a suggestion box. But Edward Jones understands itself well enough to make a suggestion box a benchmark practice, something that leaders and organizations around can look at and say, this is special and unique. That's where these organizations are ticking. That's what makes them different.
Hal, thank you so much for condensing 2.5 weeks into a crystallized observation here in terms of self-awareness, because it does seem like it's on more than one level, whether it's the self-awareness of the employees or self-awareness of the organization made up of those employees that is really separates and distinguishes them from their peer group.
True enough. And when you walk through the doors of a best company, you get that. I mean, it's so very clear in the colors they choose to paint the walls and the look and feel of everything from the cubes to the ceiling to the plants to the, you know, in Google it's lava lamps and beanbag chairs, but it doesn't have to be. It's got nothing to do with that. It's the fact that it works at Google. They understand themselves well enough to say, this is the thing that's conducive to our culture. You don't see that at Edward Jones. At Edward Jones is a very, very different look and feel, but it's specific and it's definitive, and it's very, very clear when you walk through those doors and see what I'm talking about.
Hal, thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Stu. Thanks so much.
So it's really amazing, isn't it, how business is evolving, where more companies are getting, you know, the companies that are most successful out there are actually concerned about self-awareness. Or in the innovation group with Alex Patakos and focusing on meaning in their jobs, which leads directly to engagement and innovation. It's really remarkable. In fact, even here in the Bay Area, we have our own, you know, with Inside Wealth, we also have Where the Rubber Hits the Road, and the principles of Inside Wealth is with our Preferral Network. And I'd love you to come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net. And check out people like John Menke and Associates and Hutch Ashew at Pillar Financial, because they care and they bring their own sense of meaning and service to their jobs in ways that I know we love to have in all the people we do business with. Wouldn't you like to have people show up every day and whatever it is, whether it's your accountant, an attorney, people at the bank, supermarket, you know, wherever you're showing up, where people have a sense of meaning for being there, a true dedication of service and excellence and a passion for what they do and an attitude where they have actually chosen their attitude, perhaps one of gratitude, but certainly one that is upbeat and optimistic. Because, you know, we're living in these amazing times right now. Times of huge, huge change. Where so many of us have lived so many years focusing our lives based upon acquiring material goods. Where we have used money and the bling as scorecards of our lives. Constantly comparing ourselves to other people, you know, whether they're friends or foes or competitors or whoever they are, colleagues, comparing ourselves in some pecking order based upon what car they drive or we drive, how we dress, how they dress, and all these other external things with very little, and I'll speak for myself in this, very little focus on meaning other than, you know, the meaning of the next piece of bling, which shows that somehow I'm a successful person. And we know that model is disintegrating. No matter how much the media is trying to cling on to that message, it's disintegrating. And it's showing up in every form. And so many people in business now, and this is really a wonderful thing, so many people in business are focused on what's next. And maybe it is, as Alex pointed out, you know, that maybe it does have something to do for so many people. For so many people, it is this sense of mortality where maybe us baby boomer folks, you know, maybe our friends are getting diagnosed with weird stuff or passing away. Or maybe it's our parents where we have a deeper sense of, okay, I've been in career for now 20, 30 years or whatever it is. Now what? What's more? Is there something even greater meaning for me to have in my life? Something deeper for me to experience while I'm still here? Or maybe it's for the Gen Y and Gen X kind of people who are looking at this world as it is and say, you know, looking kind of crazed if you ask me, and why is it? Why is it that people continue to pollute the earth? You know, why is it that we continue to focus on, you know, carbon, you know, fuels and as our primary, fossil fuels as our primary focus of energy? It doesn't make any sense. Or, you know, why is it that we have to maximize our profits and, you know, and maybe not be telling the truth about our products in the interim? What is it? You know, isn't it time to really take a look at our innermost thoughts and consider that we are prisoners of them and that we are limited by them? And they do, I won't say it's going to be a concentration camp, but it could certainly cause a lot of suffering for us. To the extent that we focus on ourselves, on what we have, our possessions, as opposed to who we are on the inside, or focus on it's really us and them, and it's a rat race. And once again, as Lily Tomlin once said, the problem with the rat race is even if you're winning, you're still a rat. And we're not. We are blessed, actually. Isn't it true? We are blessed to have a greater sense of self-awareness. Just as Hal was talking about with some of these great companies, have an awareness of what they are and who they stand for. And I'm inviting you to do the same, to really take a hard look, because we've been taught a lot about religion, we've been taught a lot about economics, a lot about politics, and we can easily give in to that's the way it is, because that's the way it's been. And to have anything so profound, so loving and caring as one humanity, and having enough for everybody if we really focused on it, could easily be too good to be true. That is simply another thought that imprisons us. And rather, as I'm noticing for myself, I'm inviting you to consider for yourself that, in fact, a primary thought is we are one humanity, and there is only us. There is no them. Until next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at insidewealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW. Turn the clock to zero, by some rivers wide and swim across.